In the heart of southeast Wisconsin, where speakers clash and the echoes of stretched metaphors linger, two titans rise above all. A season of glory witnessed the ascent of the dynasty as they forged their path to greatness. Guided by the visionary leadership of Mark and the unparalleled wit of Jody, they are the architects of their own destiny. If experience is the best teacher, then lead pastor Mark White should be considered a star pupil. His decades of dominance have seen more messages than the emerging gray hairs on his head. Generous in victory and gracious in defeat, Mark is not afraid to use all of the tools at his disposal to make sure his team reigns supreme, even tools more nefarious in nature. By his side is the pastor of persuasion, the director of delivery, the hero of the heartfelt, executive pastor Jody Tonarelli. While her hair evokes imagery of a bygone era where warriors would use paint to inspire fear in their adversaries, it's her words that showcase her true prowess. The only thing standing in the way of the dynasty that they proclaim is the Chosen Ones. That's not just their team name. They see themselves as ones chosen to put an end to the reign of Mark and Jody. Led by the persistent strategies of Tyler and the radical enthusiasm of Forrest, they stand as the embodiment of a new era, the era of the campus pastor. Greenfield campus pastor Tyler Volkers saw firsthand the challenge his team faces last year when he saw his team fall just a few points shy of victory. But systems specialist and planner prodigy Tyler hasn't wallowed in defeat. Instead, he began his plans for victory the second he discovered his defeat. 365 days later, he will look to use his diligence and decisiveness to leave all memories of the past in the past. At first glance, an unlikely pairing, the Oak Creek Franklin campus pastor Forrest Anderson is the perfect complement to Tyler's strategy. Don't let his love of a perfectly seasoned brisket fool you. Forrest has the tenacity of a man who wants to smash his competition like the smash burgers on his grill. His style over substance offense will look to rely upon his casual demeanor and contagious smile to bring a victory to his team. The stage is set for a clash of pastoral proportions, where each practical step taught and every joke made tell a story of resilience and determination. This is not merely a game. It's a saga of supremacy, a duel of the chosen few, a super showdown.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the event you've all been slightly curious to see if they could pull off again, the 2024 Super Showdown. I'm Joe Dollar, and with me as always is the person who needs no introduction, but we'll get one anyway, commentator.
Hello, Joe. Hello. Thanks for the heartwarming introduction. All year long, these four speakers have been practicing and preparing for the event that you are about to witness. Every joke that didn't land, every heartfelt monologue has been preparing them for this moment. They've split into two teams, and each will only have 5 minutes to share with all of you a message on our theme today, Monday Morning Quarterback.
Well, let's find out about our teams competing today. It'll be the Chosen Ones against the Dynasty. Making up the Chosen Ones, we have the campus pastors of the Ridge, Tyler Volkers and Forrest Anderson. They all seek to answer the age-old question, can someone from Illinois and someone from Wisconsin get along long enough to win a competition?
I've heard that when they're not competing in speaking events, they like to bond over a mutual dislike of shoveling snow. And when asked about it, they said, quote, "We don't like to shovel snow." Starting off for their team will be Tyler Volkers. Tyler will have a little extra motivation this year after last year's heartbreaking defeat.
From the Dynasty, we have the reigning champions, Mark White and Jody Tonarelli, looking to defend their title and perhaps achieve their namesake and begin a dynasty. Expect several Taylor Swift-style cutaway shots to their significant others, as both love to use them in story applications.
Yeah, facing Tyler in the first half will be lead pastor Mark White. Mark's fabled career holds many Ridge records, including longest message given, most audience members put to sleep, and in the 1990s, the most valuable mullet award. Also in high school, he was voted most likely to cheat in a speaking event. I'm sure that won't come into play today. What are your keys to the game?
Well, Tyler has got to start off strong. He's a Bears fan, but also a Bucks fan. Look for him to try to highlight his Bears fandom for sympathy while using the Bucks to gain some loyalty. How about for Mark?
Well, we saw an extreme confidence shown on the field last year. I'd expect that to continue today. I would expect to see him try to wow the crowd with some sort of pastoral alliteration. Well, we see both teams are ready to take to the field. Let's send it down to our referee who's standing by for today's coin toss.
Welcome to the 2024 Super Showdown. My name is John. I will be your referee today. Now, the NFL for years has struggled to define what an actual catch is. They've wrestled with whether or not quarterbacks should just be tackled by a two-hand touch rule. And they've gone back and forth on whether to believe every wide receiver that there's pass interference on every play. I can guarantee you that today's rules will be no less convoluted than any of those. But I will guide you through all of them. So it's time to meet our teams, starting off with the chosen ones. And the reigning champions, the Dynasty. All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the building, everybody hands go up. All right, teams, let me go over some rules. They're pretty basic. We've got two teams, two speakers each, with each speaker will be given 5 minutes or less to deliver a message to all of you. If they can do that successfully, they will score a touchdown, which is 6 points.
Hey, John. I saw you drop this on your way in. I don't know, that $100 bill was just laying there. You must have dropped that on your way in,
looking out for it, John.
Thanks.
I'm looking out for you,
thanks, Forrest. Yeah, that must have just fallen right out of my pocket on the way in.
It did.
Yeah.
I saw it.
You're the most corrupt referee.
We saw it too.
Did I drop anything, Mark? Mm-mm.
Oh, you've dropped a lot. Okay. Your integrity, everything else.
Well, each team will have a chance to get an extra point by using a random phrase pulled from this. They asked me for a theme this year, and I decided it's something I would like them to try to say. Yeah. Good luck. Now, each team will also be awarded a field goal based upon some polls that we put out on social media throughout the week. That will be 3 points each. There's four different categories: best team name, best team song, best halftime snack, and best pregame swag. We'll let you know who won those things during halftime or right after halftime. Now, at any point, I may throw a penalty flag if I decide that somebody if somebody throughout service did something maybe arbitrary or something like that. You can review something throughout service, but as I'm also the head replay official, I doubt you'd want to question my judgment. The final points will be awarded by all of you. You'll have a chance to vote for whichever team you thought did the best. And so you can, if you vote for them later on during service, they will be awarded a final touchdown. Now, it's come to my attention that last year, somebody brought up last
you
year.
You lost.
I was part of the team against Mark and Jody. And so many have questioned whether or not I can remain impartial. They've quoted me as having said, as long as I'm ref, you will not score a point. I can assure you that I will remain impartial despite my opinions on which team you should probably vote for.
Dude, you're doing a great job.
Great job, John.
Well done,
thank
bud.
You.
Great
thank you. Job. Such support, such integrity. All right, let's go ahead and get started with service. Two speakers come on up. There are two captains. All right. We're starting things off with a coin toss. See who wins this here. Would you like to call it?
Absolutely.
All right.
Heads.
Heads is the call, and it is heads.
We'll receive.
You'll receive. All right. So, your random phrase is, we have that at home. All right? Your time begins now.
All right. Well, hey, I want to welcome everyone who's joining us online and Oak Creek Franklin and to everyone in Greenfield. Great to be with everyone today. When we hear the term Monday morning quarterback as our theme, we often think about this being, you know, sports related. I mean, especially as a Bears fan, I look back and be a Monday morning quarterback every single Monday because we have Justin Fields as our quarterback. And it's like, oh, man, we don't have things like Aaron Rodgers at home or Jordan Love at home. You know, we're like, oh, why did he make that decision? We regret that. But we can think about Monday morning quarterbacking not just in sports. We can think about this in every area of our life. And one of the areas that we think about this often is the words that we say. Hey, by show of hands, how many of you have ever said something that you regretted? Maybe you said something, maybe you posted it online, maybe you texted, left a comment. That's a lot of us, Oak Creek Franklin Online, a lot of you as well. And we realized we said something, we're like, oh, that didn't go over really well at all. In fact, I've heard it described like this. The words that we say are often like a tube of toothpaste. Once you squeeze it from the middle, the toothpaste comes out, you can't put it back in, and it leaves a mess wherever it goes if it came out wrong. And that's true of the words that we say. That's why often we second guess the words that we say. Like, oh, we're like, oh, you know, like how I botched that phrase. We left it at home. I'm like, how did that go out there? And so I'm getting the field goal that way. But we wonder, why are we regretting those words that we say and have those second guesses? Well, good news for us is whether you're a follower of Jesus or not, we can actually use an insight from Scripture to help us with the words that we say. And this comes from the author of Proverbs. It says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And what this author is helping us realize is that there is an incredible power in our words. And the power is that our words have the power to give life or to take it from others. And many of us, we've experienced this when someone has said something to us. A lot of us, we're overworking ourselves because we had a dad who criticized us when we were young and we're trying to get his approval. Still others of us, we've compromised our beliefs or the way that we live, and we're like, I never would have done that, but someone told me that I would never fit in, and now I'm trying to fit in. And then others of us, you know, we are actually living life full of joy and purpose because someone actually spoke these words of encouragement to us. And we discovered for ourselves that the words that others have said have power to give life or to take it. And the truth is our words have the same power for someone else. And so when it comes to the words that we say, we don't have to second guess the words that we say if we put two practices into play that come from this proverb. Here's the first one. When you think of something encouraging, say it to that other person. Because a good thought for them isn't going to do any good for them until you say it. In fact, a couple months ago, my great teammate, Forrest, actually knocked on my office doors. And he said, hey, Tyler, I saw your car outside. And I just have to tell you, like, I love it when I see your car outside because I know that means you're here, you're a hard worker, you're a great teammate, and I just love how you care for other people. Now, Forrest didn't have to say that. But he actually went out of his way to give these words of encouragement. Here's what it did. It brought life. It really encouraged me to keep going. And so when you have good thoughts of someone else, here's what I want you to do. I want you to say it to your kids, to your significant other, to your coworker, and bring life to them with the words that you say. The other action point is this, is that when you have a negative thought about someone else, here's what you want to do. Don't say it. I'm not talking about critical feedback, because critical feedback can be life-giving if delivered in a way that's helpful. But when we have a thought that says this isn't going to help them, we want to actually take the step and say, you know what? I'm going to hold back on saying that, or I'm going to turn this in a way that is going to be helpful for them so that they can receive life for it. When we put these two practices into play, we'll discover that there's going to be a lot less words that we're going to have to second guess and criticize ourselves for, because there's going to be a lot less Monday morning quarterback moments. And so as I wrap up my time, here's the final question I want to leave with you. Who is someone that you can speak life into this week? That you have a good thought about them and you can let them know about it? Or if there's a negative thought, turn it into something that can be helpful that would bring life to them. Hey, thanks so much for joining us for the Super Showdown. Hope you enjoy the rest of it, and vote for the chosen ones.
Touchdown, chosen ones. That's 6 points and excellent use of the extra point. So they are currently at 7 points. Come on up, Mark.
Hey, first off, he should be penalized for lying. No way Forrest said that to Tyler. No way.
Personal foul, taunting. Yeah. What'd you get there, Mark?
I consider myself a Swiftie.
All right, your time starts now.
Well, unfortunately, every Packer fan still remembers the last throw that Jordan Love made against the 49ers, because it was an interception, and not just an interception, it was a bad interception. Here's the picture of Jordan Love making the throw right now, and he pretty much did everything wrong in that throw. He's throwing off his back foot.
He's throwing across his body, and he's throwing in the middle of the field. And that play cost his team an opportunity to either tie or win the game that would have sent them to the NFC Championship game. And here's the thing. All season long, he will have to live with the regret of that throw, wishing he could go back and do it again. But unfortunately, he can't. Regret. Every single one of us deals with regret. Here's one definition of regret that I came across recently, and defined as this. Regret is a feeling of sorrow, disappointment, or remorse about something one wishes could be done different. It's this constant, I wish. And we all deal with small regrets. Maybe it was a regret of, hey, I wish I went to bed earlier. I wish I would have went to the gym. I wish I would have not made John the referee of this whole deal. Others of us, we deal with larger regrets. And maybe it was, I wish I would have said yes, or maybe no. Hey, I wish my first marriage would have worked out. I wish I would have invested in that, taken that risk, spent more time with my kids. Here's how most of us, we deal with regret. For some, we ruminate on it. It's like we replay it over and over in our mind, wishing. Others of us, when regret comes in our lives, we blame others. And it's like, hey, you know, this happened to me, and that's all their fault. But for many of us, we play what's called the victim mindset. And the victim mindset is just this. Oh, I feel sorry for me, so I want everybody else to feel sorry for me. Here's the reality about Jordan Love. Eventually, he's going to have to go back out on the field. And if he doesn't release that regret, it's going to keep him from being the type of player that we think that he is all capable of being. And you know what? The same thing is true with us. If we don't learn to release the regret in our life, it'll keep us from stepping into God's purposes for our life. Now, the Apostle Paul, who he would have definitely considered himself a Swiftie, probably if he was still alive today. The Apostle Paul, at one point, he was actually looking at Christians and having them killed, believing he was working for God, only to later find out he was actually working against God. So he probably dealt with regret more than any of us, but here's what Paul wrote. He wrote, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal. Now, I want to lock into that phrase, forgetting what is behind. You know, Paul's not saying that we can just delete regret from our mind. That's impossible to do. But what Paul is talking about is we got to get to a place where we're able to release the weight of regret. And that's through the shame and the guilt that we often feel with it. We got to release it so we can set it down so then we can move forward in freedom. Now, how do we do that? Well, the Monday after every game, the players will watch the game film of the game prior. And they're watching the film to look at it and go, hey, what did I do wrong and how can I get better? I can only imagine Jordan Love watching that last play over and over again, not to make himself feel worse, but to take responsibility for his part and go, this is on me, so that he can learn from it and move forward. And if we're going to release the regret in our lives, we have to be willing to do the same thing. We got to look at all the decisions that led up to the regret and then look at the parts and go, hey, this is on me. I take responsibility for that. So then we can begin to move forward. Now, if you're a Jesus follower, that happens. Two things have to happen. We have to confess. And confess just means admitting the sin part of it to God. But then there's this second part, and that is repentance. Repentance just means this. I'm going to turn in a different direction. Oh, I learned from that. I'm not doing that again. I'm going to turn and go this way. And here's what the Apostle John says will happen if we do. He says this, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And here's the thing, with every regret, there's some sin that led up to it. But then he says this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful, he's talking about God, and just to forgive us. In other words, release us from it. Forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. We're released from the weight of the regret because God releases us from it. Now, here's the thing. What can happen after that? Well, my all-star teammate is going to close in such a way that you can't vote for anyone else or you'll regret it.
Unnecessary roughness on the offense, the Jordan Love reference, and was that a pot shot at your humble referee? Now, a touchdown was scored. He got it within the time limit, although the Chosen Ones do get an extra 15 seconds because of the penalty. So sorry about that, Team Dynasty. Although, and the extra point, the phrase was, I consider myself a Swiftie, not he probably considers himself a Swiftie. I don't know. That seems a little like he came up just short of the goal line on that one. So no extra point. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. All right. This is the end of the first half. I'm going to send it up to the commentators.
Wow. I don't think I've ever seen a first half performance quite like that.
I have.
Fair enough. It's time to introduce our next two speakers. Going for the Chosen Ones is the local foodie from area code 414, Forrest Anderson. He's a rookie this season after former teammate John Larson was immediately cut after last year's horrific loss.
Yeah, after not getting picked up by any other teams, John has finally found his calling as this year's ref. But back to Forrest, he got his start in the restaurant industry before becoming pastor. So he hates McDonald's and is well acquainted with government health inspectors.
I'm not sure how that's going to help him today.
Sure it will. He'll know how to bribe the officials.
Well, definitely something we'll look for in the second half.
Yeah, and his competitor in this round from the Dynasty is Jody Tonarelli. Last year, she rallied the Packer fans to her cause with some hometown storytelling that reminded me of her journalism roots. She's also not afraid to play the mom card to get the female vote.
It's certainly shaping up to be an exciting finish. And why not enjoy the showdown with a refreshing bottle of Sprecher Gourmet Root Beer? Sprecher Fire-Brewed Craft Root Beer has the rich, creamy flavor that comes from using pure honey. From right here in Wisconsin, it's the only thing a true community church would serve. Sprecher Root Beer was rated the best in the nation by the New York Times. Try some yourself today and see why.
Real natural, Joe. That felt really natural.
Just like the all-natural flavoring in Sprecher Root Beer.
Well, before we get back to the action, now is a good time to remind all of you viewers of the power you currently hold. After the speakers finish sharing, we're going to ask you to cast your vote for the winning team by texting in. So have your phones ready.
All right, let's go back down to the field where our ref is ready to kick off the second half.
I feel like I caught a little bit of unnecessary shade on that one, but that's okay. All right, so to get a point update, our polls throughout the week resulted in several field goals. For best team name, the winner was the Chosen Ones. That brings their point total up to 10 points. For best pregame swag, for best halftime snack, and for best team song, the winner was the Dynasty. That brings their total up to 15, so it is currently 15-7. All right, can I get Forrest? Come on up. Hey, buddy.
Hi, John. How you
hey,
doing?
How's it going? Buddy. Wow.
Pick a good one.
I'll give you the best one.
All right.
Maybe I won't. Hey, kids, Quick Trip is just like Disney World, right?
Oh. All right. Yeah. All right, so by a show of hands, how many of you have ever been a Monday morning quarterback? Yeah. Yeah, Oak Creek, Franklin, raise your hands. Come on, everybody. I know you have been, right? This is when we get caught, you know, second-guessing other people's actions, other people's motives, the things that they do. I definitely have been, actually probably quite too often, and I'll tell you, as the truest Packer fan and the only Packer season ticket holder on this stage today, when I am watching the Super Bowl and watching the 49ers in it, I'm going to be second-guessing a lot, especially having a rookie kicker in there. Come on, 3 points. Like, that's all we needed to get to this next game. Well, how about when it comes to ourselves? Like, how many of us second guess our own decisions, our own choices? And what do we do when we find ourselves in these situations where we're second guessing them and we feel like that we're disappointed, you know, by the outcomes of these things? Well, one of the things that we could do is we could quit. You know, we could quit that job. We can quit that relationship, blaming the fact that it's hard. Or maybe we could stop taking risks. You know, because we've got this fear, because we've got all this shame from the last time that it happened. Well, here's the thing. When we do those things, it actually hurts us because it stops us from becoming the person that God ultimately wants us to be. So how do we do this? Like, what do we do in these situations? Well, what I want us to do is I want to take us to take a look at probably the biggest Monday morning quarterback in the Bible, and that's this guy named James. And if you don't know James' story, the amazing thing about James is he was Jesus' half-brother. So think about his life.
He grew up with Jesus as his brother, this perfect man as his brother, this perfect brother who probably did everything right all the time. And I'm sure there was moments where James looked at him and probably just made fun of the guy. You probably laid into him, maybe even did stuff like we brothers always do to each other, where we, you know, hurt each other a little bit. But then Jesus, right, all of a sudden he dies one day. He's crucified. And then he beats death. And 3 days later, he probably showed up on James' door. And James' like, oh, I guess you really are the Son of God. I mean, in that moment, he's probably second-guessing everything that he did to his brother, all the things that he said to his brother. And he could have quit. Right then and there, he could have quit, and he could have been filled with all of those thoughts of like, I was mean to the Son of God. Like I didn't believe in him. But instead of quitting, he decided to follow Jesus. And he helped other people follow the Jesus. And then he wrote this book to the followers of Jesus and to all of us. And in this book, he said this, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds." Pure joy. Like when I face trials, it actually kind of sucks. Like how can you find joy out of all this stuff, James? And he says this. He says, it's because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And here this word perseverance, it literally means to remain under. Nothing about if you're lifting weights, right? In order to get stronger, you need to remain under those weights. And then the longer that you remain under those weights, it's the more endurance that you get and the stronger that you get. And our faith is just like that. See, these trials that we face, even though that we don't ask for these trials make our faith stronger. And he's not saying that these trials are things that you need to stay under when he gives you these opportunities to get out of them, right? Like you don't need to stay under and stay in relationships that are abusive, right? You don't need to deny yourselves help when it comes to the depression you're facing or keep beating yourself up again and again and again over all of the mistakes that you made. What he's saying is just don't leave the gym early, right? Don't get out. Well, that's not literally what he's saying, but here's what he does say. He says, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. He's saying, let the process play out. Because what God is trying to do in you in that moment through the trial is just at the center of everything that he's trying to do in your life. So let the process play out. Don't cut out. Here's another way that I like to think of it. It's this. Keep going in order so that you can keep growing. And so when you find yourselves in those Monday morning quarterback situations where you're second guessing, you know, things that you said to your spouse or the things that you say to your kids, and you're sitting there right there willing, trying to throw in the towel, man, let the process play out in you. Allow God to finish his work in you, because when he does, man, it is going to be so much better because you're going to lack nothing. And as a Packer fan, right, next year when you're watching the season next year, and Jordan Love is going through a couple of those moments where he's struggling a little bit. Man, allow the process to play out. Because as true Packer fans, what do? Do we quit on our team? No. We keep saying, go, Pack, go. Go, Pack, go. Go, Pack, go. And make sure, hey, kids, Quick Trip is just like Disney World, right?
Touchdown, Chosen Ones. And wow, way to really get that extra point in there at the last second, huh? Yeah, that's nice. All right, so that leaves us currently at 17-15.
That got added after the time it hit zero.
The penalty on Mark. Wow, the crowd is, they're on it. They got this. Yeah. Thank you all for having my back. Wow, that's nice.
Supporting the ref.
Yeah. All right, Jody, I'll try to pick you a winner here. Pistachio matcha latte.
Yum. We got to get these in the lobby.
Your time starts now.
Well, my fellow Packer backers, I am here to get us across the goal line on the topic that my amazing teammate kicked off in the first half, this idea of regrets. But, like, just saying it out loud makes me cringe just a tiny bit because regrets are brutal, aren't they? Ugh. I mean, we all have learned, though, especially through Jordan Love's last interception, that we can evaluate our prior decisions, and when we involve God, we really can set them aside and release those regrets. Now, that's awesome, but how do we move forward after we do that? Because if we don't move forward in a healthy way, man, history's going to repeat itself and the regrets that come with it. That's a dangerous place to be in, and culture tells you that the answer is just to, like, reinvent yourself. You do you. Now, what does that mean? Jordan Love is supposed to try to be Peyton Manning or Joe Montana or any other great QB? The problem with that is God only made one of you, and he created you on purpose and with great intention. So everywhere Jordan Love goes, he's going to carry Jordan on the inside. And you do the exact same thing. The core of who you were made to be is something we all cannot shake. And that's actually great news because it means we're enough. We're enough to get off the bench in our own game plan and get into God's game. He wants to use us. Check this out. This is what the Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Romans. He says, and we know that in all things, stop there, what's all things? All things, your past trauma, your past bad decisions, the missed opportunities, all of it, all the things, all you got. What happens? God works for the good of those who love him. He isn't on the bench either. When you invite God in, he's moving, he's active, and he does what only he can do. And what comes from that? Good. That's a pretty good place to be. So the bottom line really is this. Moving past regrets requires inviting God into them. When you do, everything shifts, everything changes, because God shows up in ways you can't create on your own, and that's where the good stuff really comes. Now, this whole process actually has a name. It's something that's called redemption, and it is truly sacred stuff. So if you want to invite God in to redeem your past regrets, you got to do two things. First, you got to live in community, and the second thing you got to do is seek eternal vision. First, you got to live in community. Now, Jordan Love doesn't go home, sit on the couch, and drink a pistachio matcha latte every day after his game. What he does is he circles up with a group of dudes. These dudes mean the world to him. The backup QBs, position coach, head coach, trainers, and what do? They offer him community, the same two things you get when you're in community, encouragement and accountability. Encouragement means more when they know how hard you work all season long for progress. And accountability meaning this is the group he watched the painful game tape and the interception with every stinking angle to learn and grow from it. You get accountability too, and I know, like, we balk at that idea, we don't want it, but when you're in God-centered community, accountability is a great thing because those people, God speaks through them to point out where your decisions and your destiny are not aligned. That is valuable stuff. You got to get in community. Second thing you got to do is seek eternal vision, right? Because what we regret oftentimes comes when we seek temporary happiness, but when we invite God in to work for his good is only going to come with playing the long game. That's the only game he knows. That means for Jordan Love, he's not going to be defined by one interception. His career will be defined by the legacy he builds next season and beyond, how he responds to and grows from it. For you and I, that means we start to ask totally different questions, like, don't you really hope that your purpose is bigger than just you? And don't you want to leave a God-sized mark on this place? As soon as you say yes to God, crazy stuff starts to happen. Like, he can actually do miracles inside of you. He can actually change lives of the people right next to you. He can actually bring the kingdom of God right now all around you. That is sacred and powerful stuff. And guess what? It only happens when we allow God to redeem our regrets, right? All of a sudden, we give up our own personal game plan and we start working and living into his, because in a different way, we understand that the clock is ticking and he wants to give us the ball. He wants us to score for him, for the good. So what did we learn? We learned that Monday morning quarterbacks do something pretty important. They use hindsight to assess the past and chart a new course forward. And we can do the same thing. I want it for you and me for sure. I also want it for Jordan Love because my hope is next year he's going to start a new Packers dynasty. That's why we want you to vote for Team Dynasty. Go Pack Go! You hear me? Go Pack Go!
T-
Touchdown, Team Dynasty, and excellent use of the extra point. That currently puts us at 22-17. Now go ahead and pull out your phone. Our commentators and everyone online, everyone Oak Creek Franklin, pull out your phone because our commentators are going to let us know how we can vote. This is the end of regulation.
What a finale. Whoever wins after this will have earned it because they left it all on the field and gave 110%. Sure, will the critics find fault in their performances? They always do, but no one can fault their effort.
It really was a spectacular showing. I would even go so far as to say it was a super showdown. But the most important part is still to come. We need to discover who really won this thing. We need each of you to pull out your phones and vote for the team you think deserves to win.
If you think it's Tyler and Forrest, then text CHOSEN to the number you see on the screen. And if you think it's Mark and Jody, then text DYNASTY to the number you see on the screen. Whichever team gets more votes will get the points.
As always, when you vote, you'll want to factor in how they use their random phrase, if you feel like you learned something practical about your faith, and if their shoes elevated their performance or made it fall flat. All important things to consider before you vote.
And now is a good time to remind you that this telecast is copyrighted by the Ridge CC for the global use of our audience. Any other use of this telecast or any pictures, descriptions, or accounts of this game without the Ridge consent is highly encouraged. So be sure to tag us on social.
Thank you all so much for just making this an awesome and super fun Super Showdown. Thank you all for voting. And now it's time to announce the winners, all based on your vote for the final touchdown. The winners and still champions, the Dynasty.
For the record, Forrest has never won anything in his life, so this is a big deal. No. Hey, listen, we hope that you came here and you're able to exhale, laugh, experience the joy in the place. Actually, we call that church. And so we hope that you just, like I said, experience that. And it was a pleasure, a lot of fun. We actually do love each other, minus John. But we do. We really do. And so we just love doing this. And can you just give these guys a round of applause? Great team. We do all that stuff. Okay, hey, before you go, hey, I just want to, two quick things. One, next week we have a really special week. It's a standalone service that we're going to do that we're talking about how to change a life. And we're all going to get the opportunity to do that. So I hope you'll come back for that. Also, on your seats, this card that is inviting you to a meal packing event in March, and it's a really important thing because we have really seen just the need and the deep need for, I mean, people going hungry, short of food, all that stuff right in our community. So our goal is to pack 150,000 meals, and all of it goes local here. And so we're going to need you and invite people to come be a part of it and all that stuff. I want you to scan the QR code, sign up, and man, let's bless our community. Because that's what we're called to do. So, hey, let me pray for us. God, thanks for just allowing us to get together, have a little fun. Obviously, there is a game later today that, will be the biggest game of the year and all that stuff. And people will be eating, drinking, community experience, all that stuff. God, you designed all that. And we think that we should experience that here as well as out there because you're involved in all of it. Thank you for being a God of joy and of laughter and of community, being relational. And God, thank you for just allowing us to do that and to do that with you. And I know you're laughing and experience it all with us. And I know, God, your will was done here today because the right team won. So thank you, God, for all of it. Amen. Everybody have a great week. We'll see you next week.